Tom, we need more HB toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X. We are broadcasting from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside the great Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. Please, please, please ask me what I did last night.
What did you do last night, Mike?
I went bowling.
You went bowling?
I did.
Fantastic.
Z, do you want to share any stories from last night?
You need to share a story from last night.
This guy's a stud bowler.
Is he?
Yes. But I out-bowled him at least the first game.
Well, how could he be a stud bowler if you out-bowled him?
He actually had an off night.
He had to get warmed up.
I told him I was going to give him a hard time this morning, so I didn't waste any time. 30 seconds into the show, there we go.
But he smoked you in the second game, I'm guessing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is he's a stud when it comes to bowling. He's a ringer.
Well, if he loves bowling, then he should also love the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios, and they are a sponsor. Did you know that?
Wow, nice transition,
well,
Mr.
thank
Julian.
You. And love is what makes a Subaru. You need to get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people, real people, sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in and see the difference, and maybe you're already a Subaruist. Then you can follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
Well done, Stephen. Well done. We've got a great show today. We've got three guests here in the studio representing a couple companies from Rosemont Capital Solutions, Tom Brigitte, or Tom Brigitte, whatever you want to call him.
No, it's Brigitte. Let's do it right.
I know. We were talking about that before the show. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Mike.
Also joining us on the program from CTR Partners, Rob Coatsworth and Jeff Richardson. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Appreciate having you here. We're going to start with Tom with the Rosemont Capital Solutions. Tom, tell us all about your company. What do you do?
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show. Rosemont Capital Solutions is in the marketplace finance industry, which we provide financing for traditionally small business owners. Typically the ones that are frustrated by the whole lending process, meaning they don't qualify for or have a loan with a bank. They are established companies. Typically in some type of growth mode or transition where they need seeking capital to get them to the next level. Typically, the funds they're looking for are those that are not something that banks are interested in, meaning the amounts are not what banks are looking to do.
One of the terms we hear is alternate lender. Is that a term that you like to use? There's no negative connotation with it, or is there?
I don't think so. It's still a very, it's a growing industry. It's a new industry. I like to tell people it's not quite as old as the internet, but we're older than Facebook. So yes, alternative lending, micro lending, marketplace finance. You know, we connect small business owners with a network of private lenders that will invest, I like to call it temporary non-equity finance, into their business. So they're partners, but they don't own any piece of the business. And like an angel or an equity investor, they're looking for a decent return on their investment.
Tom, when you opened and said what the company did, you used the word typically a lot, which I'm imagining there is no real typical business, but there are some parameters. If you fit in some parameters, you're going to be a much better candidate.
Correct.
So let me ask it this way. What are the good parameters that if a business owner is listening and go, I fit in that, they're going to be one of the prime clients for you guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thanks, Steve. So yes, industries, we've lent to over 40 different industries, but a good size or a good benchmark is companies that have between 5 and 50 employees, and their revenues would generally somewhere between $250,000 and $2 million. Some less, some more, but that's kind of the sweet spot for us.
If I'm a business, what do you need or require from me? How long does the process take?
The only thing that we require is that the business is open and running for a minimum of 3 months. So no startups. We do a lot of work with some companies.
Three months.
Yeah. I was going to say,
wow.
I don't know your industry, but I've heard, oh, you need to be a couple years of staff. I think SBA loans, it's got to be more. So 3 months is not, that's not a huge hurdle.
No.
Yeah.
This is a lot. This is completely different than bank financing. Mm-hmm. So getting back to your question, typically if anybody provides us an application, they can get a preliminary offer within 48 hours, and the funds will be in their bank account within 7 days.
These private lenders that are that you're connecting them with, you said temporary. How short and how long can some business owner, and again, use the parameters. I know it could be longer or shorter.
It could be. A lot of times it depends on the industry. So the short turnaround is generally 4 months and anywhere up to 15 to 18 months. Generally, the shorter times are the manufacturers, wholesalers, where they want to get in a product, move it, and pay it off quickly. I like to say businesses that are in the cash register business, so they've got sales coming in every day, retail, restaurants, they want the money typically for as long as they can have it, and that will be anywhere usually from 10 to 18 months.
We're talking with Tom Brigette with Rosemont Capital Solutions here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Do you make requirements as far as the funds that you lend that it has to be used for certain things?
We do not. Certain lenders will ask what the funds are being used for, but oftentimes the response is just general working capital. These are another significant difference between these types of this type of financing in banks is these are completely unsecured with as far as real collateral. So they will file a UCC, but generally they are, you know, well behind everybody else and a personal guarantee, and that's it.
All right. Well, you say unsecured, so I think that everybody's now thinking, okay, talk about the rates, because that obviously is going to come into play as well. You would assume these are, as you mentioned, companies that might not be able to get financed through a typical bank or institution. So you're thinking the rates must be higher. What do they look like?
Yeah, they are. That's why I when the bank comparison comes up, I run as far as I can from that. Because for the prime borrower, the banks are without question the way to go. Every time I meet with a client or a potential client, I ask them if they've been to a bank or maybe if they have a bank loan and they might need a little bit more. But generally, again, depending on an individual's personal credit, and what type of industry and volume that they have and how long they want the money. I can give you a good benchmark. If you borrow $10,000, you could pay back anywhere from $11,500 or $1,500 on top of the money or $13,000 to maybe even a little higher.
Okay. And are you finding over the years, has your market grown? Have there been more and more companies that have had to go to alternate funding?
So I would say, that's a kind of a yes and no answer.
Would you say it's a good question though?
I would say it's an excellent question.
Thank you.
That's leading the witness, Mike.
Yeah.
Come on. That's terrible.
And the reason it's not that they had to go to alternative financing, it's become an option for them that was typically not available. The industry, again, because so many of these companies are private, it's you don't have as, and the bank regulation, so you don't have as much concrete information as you would like of how much is being lent. But the most recent studies were that in 2010, about $1 billion in this type of transactions were lent to small business owners. Over the last 5 years, compound growth is 123% per year. So 2014, which is the most recent numbers, was $20 billion, and it's projected to go by 2020 to over $122 billion.
Wow.
What a lot of times we sit with business owners and they say, you know, one of the ways they build their business is repeat customers. To some extent, a business owner wouldn't necessarily want to constantly keep coming back to this, but that's where we go back to those certain industries. There are certain industries that this is perfect for. So how do you guys set yourself apart so that you can get those repeat customers in those industries?
Yeah. So a lot of the companies in our industry are online platforms. There's several big boys in the market, and they do traditional advertising, TV, radio. Driving over here today, I heard on ESPN a couple of ads. But to your point, yes, eventually we want to get a small business owner where they can walk into a bank because they've showed profits over the last 2 or 3 years, and they can get that loan to help them grow. So if somebody continues to use us and they're on a upward trajectory, their business is growing and improving, they're making more money, it might be a good thing for them. If they're staying flat or going down, generally then it's a fundamental problem within their business, and it's not being run correctly.
I'm still amazed, Tom, that you will work with companies that have been around only 3 months or so, because obviously you've got to do a lot of due diligence. You want to make sure you're lending to companies where they're going to pay you back, obviously. Is there ever a gut feeling? Sometimes you work with a company. 3 months is not a long track record. Is it all just black and white numbers? Or sometimes, you get to know the business owner and, you know what, I believe in you. Does that ever come into play? Or is it pretty much just black and white?
So there's definitely more gray area in this industry than with banks, right? Banks are very black and white. This is our box. Fit in it or sorry, we can't help you. But our parameters that we look at are, it's a lot less. Again, it's their personal credit. Generally, we're looking for consistent deposits in their bank and not a lot of NSF charges. But yeah, it's sometimes there is a little bit gray area where they can tell a story.
And I'd like to follow up on that real quick. I mean, is there a story maybe that you might share of a company that was having some troubles and you were able to help them out?
Yeah, this one is probably, I would say, a little bit outside the box from what we typically work with, again, with the revenues of $250,000 to $2 million. But we did have a big restaurant group last year, sales north of $10 million a year. They had a bank loan, they had a line, but they were up against it. And they had two restaurants that were under development at the time, and they were out of money. And they needed over $1 million to get those two restaurants completed. We were able to get the money for them. So they completed the two restaurants. Both restaurants did over $10 million in sales in the first year. So while the money was not as cheap as their bank money, they got the restaurants open, and going forward, what the additional cost of the money that they had far outweighed what they'll do going forward.
We're speaking with Tom Brigette from Rosemont Capital Solutions. Tom, you guys are located here in Duluth. I would imagine Gwinnett is one of your main areas. Do you go nationwide? Do you stay in Georgia? What's your reach?
Yeah, good question. So I am affiliated with a group up in New York called Pioneer Capital, some gentlemen that I had worked with previously. And our network, how we get our customers is through an independent agent network. So these are generally people that are in some type of sales profession that are selling a good or service to a small business owner. And when the buzzword goes off that, geez, if I had another 25, 50, I could do X, Y, Z, that's when these people then refer them over to us. And they do all the paperwork and submit it into us, and we go forward. So yes, nationwide, 29 states we've funded in.
And Tom, can you kind of give us an idea of where the industry and business is heading? Maybe some estimates of where what we'll be looking at 5, 10 years from now?
Yeah, so there's all kinds of wild speculation. Again, in 5 years, the latest projection I saw was over $100 billion in U.S. Sales or financing. And I read an interesting article from recently. It was former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. And he actually is on the board of a peer-to-peer lender, LendingTree. And he projected by 2025 that marketplace lending would be 75% of all small business loans. That's a lot.
Compared to more traditional bank loans, I don't want to be negative, but what's the default rate? I mean, is it similar to banks? Is it more because these are companies that maybe are a little outside the box? Where does that fall?
Yeah, it's a lot more. Typically some of these lenders, they will work with a business owner. They may have had a good business, been open several years, but they've had some bumps along the way, and they might have credit scores in the 500s. They'll work with them. These are lenders that are basically thinking that I believe that this business is a going concern for the next 6 months, 12 months, 15 months. So we're not into five-year business plans that banks are looking at. A lot can happen in 5 years. In 12 months, we think that it could be, it's a good rate, but yes, significantly higher than banks. When they hear what our loss rates are, they shudder. So anywhere in the 6-7% default rate.
Which is why you have the higher rates.
That's part of it, yes. Yep.
But what I really like about Rosemont Capital Solutions and I guess other alternate funding companies, and I'm assuming they do what you do, you do try to, talk to those companies, say, listen, try to go through the bank route first. I mean, you're upfront about it.
Always.
If that doesn't work, we're here to help out.
Yeah. It's when you... Not a lot of people really understand the impact of small business. You know, when I tell folks that there's 28 million small business owners in the United States, and since the 70s, they've generated 2 out of 3 net new jobs in the country, but they don't have traditionally an avenue where they can go and get money to help grow their business, put more people to work, be a pillar in the community. And we provide them a way that they can continue to grow. And eventually, when their business is at the point, they can walk into the bank proudly with their last 3 years of profitable tax returns and give me the money.
Work it from there. So, Tom, yeah. I'm going to ask you one question that might be slightly out of the box. I usually think of things in terms of investments, and I'm thinking of the people who are the private lenders. Is there an avenue for, you know, business owners who might be listening to us and or investors who would say, that might be an avenue that I would look to want to invest money into small business directly? Can you help with that? Or do you know who they need to get in touch with to look to do that?
Yeah, well, I can definitely help with that. Can put them in touch with people also. And a lot of the money flowing in this industry right now is Wall Street, hedge funds, mm-hmm. VC firms on the West Coast, because this is a very technology-driven industry. They're miles ahead of banks with their long underwriting process. Several of the larger companies have very sophisticated algorithms where people can just enter an application online and they'll get a preliminary response back within hours. It could be just an individual or oftentimes it's big funds.
All right, Tom Brigitte from Braintree, Massachusetts, with us on the program today. Rosemont Capital Solutions for those business owners, business leaders that are listening in that would like to maybe reach out to you or find out more. You may be something they need. Give us websites, phone numbers, anything you want to share.
Yep. So website is rosemontcapitalsolutions.com. And I can be reached at 678-620-8311.
Tom, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Steve.
Always great to have a fellow Red Sox, Patriot, Bruins fan here in the studio.
Go Sox!
There you go.
Sox.
That's right. You're a big Sox fan, too.
Hello. Yeah, we were talking about that this past summer. So go Sox. Go Petey.
You went to the game, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Big Poppy last season. All right. Move on quickly. Oh, actually, before you move on, speaking of the Red Sox, they have that big giant wall, right? And they have that big giant Citgo sign, which I believe celebrated 50 years this year, I think.
Was that on the Green Monster or above
the Green Monster? No, behind the Green Monster, Citgo sign. You know, but you're doing well for the crowd. So speaking of big graphics, that's why people around here need to talk to Speed Pro Imaging in Marietta, because they help their businesses stand out by providing high-quality large graphics. If you can imagine it, they can make it. As the industry leader for large-scale printing, they deliver impactful images that share a message, attract attention, and reinforce your brand. To find out more, visit speedpromarietta.com.
Yay!
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the veal.
I got the sound effects ready to go just in case I need them. I got to do at least one a show. So there you go. That was just for you, Stephen.
Thank you, Mike.
Our next guest here on the program come to us from CTR Partners, Rob Coatsworth and Jeff Richardson. Rob, Jeff, welcome to the program. Give us a broad overview of CTR Partners and what you guys do.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having us on the show. We're very excited to be here and good to meet all of you.
We're a professional services organization that focuses strictly on helping the tenant or the buyer of office or industrial real estate navigate those waters. We help our clients not only locate and negotiate space, if they need to grow or move, we help them renew leases as well, or as I said, purchase buildings. But we have a long history here in Gwinnett County as well as throughout Atlanta helping clients with that.
What does CTR stand for? And for a business person, business executive, why should they use your company as opposed to maybe trying to do it themselves?
CTR stands for Corporate Tenant Representation. Basically, a business owner has a business to run. There's a lot of responsibilities that they have. There's firms like ours, tenant advocate firms, are their outsourced real estate department. We can help them with all aspects of their real estate. We go from the initial search, qualifying the buildings, go through all the feedback from the various buildings, and then report to them. We provide them the information that's going to help them make an informed decision for their real estate.
All right. Well, let me ask the question then. As you saw already with Tom, I don't beat around the bush. We get to right to the meat and potatoes. There's got to be a cost involved here. How much is this going to cost me to use you guys?
This is the catchy part of our discussion because a lot of people ask us that. And
would you say it's a good question?
Of course, it's a good question.
Excellent question.
Oh, I got an excellent. Did you hear that, Stephen? Okay, I'm sorry. Am I leading the witness again?
You are. This is so. It's really sad.
So the cat is out of the bag.
It's really sad. It's really bad.
Typically, we have shows people will say good questions, so we kind of keep track who gets the more good questions.
But no one up to this point has ever led the witness and say, would you say, would you not say, sir, that it is an excellent question?
I asked if it was a good question. He said it was an excellent question. Extra bonus points for me.
Hey, let's get back to the actual point that these wonderful business owners are trying to make about their business instead of your silly contest.
All right. I'm sorry, Rob. You were saying? Well, it was Jeff was saying.
It was actually Jeff was saying.
So take a point away for that. Go ahead, Jeff.
You're down to one now.
Pretty good question.
It's a question we get asked quite often, and our service does not cost our clients anything. We work on a contingency basis. If a client goes to a building without representation and they go out driving around and trying to find buildings and negotiate that, what happens in most situations is the agent representing the landlord, who has a fiduciary responsibility to the landlord, gets paid a larger fee. If we're involved, we would take a portion of that fee. There is a small override, but it's negligible. So if a company actually has a group that they're working with who they trust, that's the number one thing. You have to build trust in this. They're going to save much more money and time using someone who knows the market and knows how to negotiate as opposed to doing it themselves in the market today.
So there is almost literally no difference between someone doing this themselves and then using your services. The money is going to go to the other agent completely. Some of that money will go to you guys if they use you.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
But to play devil's advocate, would I be thinking, oh, wait a minute, they're representing the landlord, really. They're not representing me.
That's another great question.
He wants to fill, I'm going to mark that down. But, you know, he's trying to fill up that building for that landlord, and that might not be best for me, but he's going to try to direct me that way.
That's where our service is much different than a lot of companies in our industry. We're strictly a tenant or a buyer advocate. We do not take listings on buildings. We do not have any responsibility to buildings. There are a lot of commercial real estate companies out there, as you guys know, that do a lot of different things. They may manage buildings, they may develop buildings, they may list buildings for landlords. We don't have any of that. So we don't have any responsibility. Our responsibility is fully on the tenant side of the table. And that's the reason we set our firm up the way we did.
And that was a specific decision you guys made to increase the trust of the people you'll work with, because your only fiduciary responsibility are the buyers and the tenants that you work for.
That's correct.
Okay. So, and so help my education process here. I think most people come to commercial real estate and all they've had is residential background, and that doesn't make sense in the residential background. There wouldn't be a realtor who, I only represent buyers, but in the commercial side, that really helps. And is it because of the potential for, what's the word here? Is it because of the potential for, conflict of interest?
Well, it is. And I'll tell you a quick story of a client that had moved into a building here in Duluth, scientific firm. they had had representation years ago before we ever connected with them, had had a decent experience with that firm, but then realized, oh, I'm in the building. I've been here for 5 or 6 years. I look outside. The same firm that helped me move into the building now has a sign in front of the building representing the building. It may not be the same agent, but do I know that? And are they talking to one another, or who's actually representing me? So to Rob's credit, Rob's one of the founding partners of our firm in 93, made that strategic decision. We're going to only represent the consumer in the marketplace because, to Tom, they have a lot of things they're trying to do as a business owner. We're trying to take that off the plate and give them a true advocate in the process.
Are you guys the only ones who do this? Are there others that kind of do the same? Or do you see this as something that needs to happen in the industry more and more?
There are other firms that do what we do. There's larger ones, but typically they're what I would say, smaller shops that do it. I think it's an absolute need. Whether there's a real conflict or not, there could be a perceived conflict. We approach it differently in that we're not transaction-based. We're relational. We would rather meet the people years before they even have a need, get the opportunity to know them, learn who they are, learn about their families, learn about their business. And when that time comes for a real estate need, if it comes, then we know how to serve them better.
Well, and if they're happy with where they are, would there ever be a need where they need a broker's help?
Yes, we always suggest, if you're looking at a renewal, our goal is not to move a company. Our goal is to do what is in your best interest, what's going to work best for your company. And a lot of times renewing is exactly what they need to do. But we go through the same process, or we encourage them to do that. Look at the market, we'll show you what's out there, and compare what's being offered to what your landlord's being offered. We see often a landlord takes advantage of a tenant that's been there. Here's a company that's been there for 5 years, paying their rent on time, and they give them not a market deal a lot of times. So our job is to go in there on their behalf and try to negotiate the best deal we can and make it consistent or better than what the market's offering.
So I want you guys to imagine you're in a room full of business owners who are all leasing. They're all tenants in various respects. And in some respects, you're doing that here on the show. You don't want them to call you 2 months before the lease is up. So give them a timeline. Give us some good advice. Give the tenants good advice. When should they, of course, you talked about developing relationships early, but what's a good timeline for someone to start looking at their lease? How often should they look at it?
We tell our clients to start that process anywhere from 9 months to 12 months before their lease expires. Most people don't think that far out, or when you say that to them at, oh, well, why would I start that early? But this process can take a while, especially if you end up relocating and you have construction to do, or you have permitting process you have to go through, any number of those things. And honestly, a lease negotiation can take a while, especially if an attorney is in New York and it takes a while to get an answer back. There's just a lot of things that happen through that a lot of people don't think of. So we try to provide them a timeline at the outset where we can kind of back into a date where they need to start, but it's typically 9 to 12 months out is ideal. If they're looking at leasing or purchasing, if some clients build a building, we can help them find land to do that with. You need to start a couple of years out to evaluate that based on construction timelines and those things for a complete building.
And it's really difficult for, if you wait to the last minute, you typically are forced to make a poor decision for your company, because you're not going to get the best deal. So that's why we encourage people to start well in advance, give yourself plenty of time, know what's out there, and then make an informed decision.
You're listening to Rob Coatsworth and Jeff Richardson with CTR Partners here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Some of the things you've said have really piqued my interest that, you can work with a company and maybe just see if they can find a better spot for them. Maybe it's more cost efficient. Is there a concern that maybe you get a lot of companies that why don't you know, they just kind of kick the tires with you, and, why not come on and give, Tom, a call, or not Tom, Rob or Jeff a call. Don't take away points for that, please. because, they'll go out there and kick the tires for me, but I really have probably no desire to, is that a concern of yours?
It is a concern of ours, but per what Rob mentioned earlier, our focus is on the relationship. There's always an opportunity for someone to take advantage of a relationship, right? that's part of the industry we're in. That's part of the world we're in. We really want to have a partnership, a true partnership and trust with a client. I can't always guarantee that. We have numerous success stories of clients who do trust us and we trust them, and it's a great partnership. We have others where we wish it would have gone a different way. But we try to have a simple engagement letter that outlines our commitment to them. It's not a legal document, but it tries to put both of us on the same page.
And it's always looking out for their interests, doing what's right no matter what. And so if they decide not to move or to renew or to use us, that's out of our control.
I don't want to repeat some of the things that you've already said, but this answer may kind of repeat some of those things. But let's say I'm a business owner and I know my area. I know, you know, within a 5-block radius, I kind of know all the buildings. Is that someone that you still would want to talk to?
Absolutely. What we find often is there are people that they're just inclined to do that, and they can negotiate it on their own. But what they're probably missing is some of the opportunities that aren't apparent. We keep in touch. We know what the current activity is, what the availability is in the building or in the buildings. And so they're going to benefit from our experience and our knowledge.
And you said at the top of the interview, business owners are running their business.
Right.
We had a client years ago, one of the success stories, who is a great client, great friend. I built a great relationship with him, but he had a motorcycle. So every weekend he was out riding around and he would go by building after building after building after building. And on Monday, I got a laundry list of buildings to check on, which is fine. But what you find in our industry, and you guys see this, you drive around, there's signs in front of every building. Well, that sign could have been up for 10 years and the building's completely full, but they leave the sign. So that some of that legwork that's done, business owners are candidly wasting time going down that road as opposed to having someone who does know the market or can research that for them and tell them.
I was going to ask you a little bit of an out of the box question. So you can, if this is really bad, you can just say that's the worst question ever. I hope you don't, but
he's
ready. His pen is poised. Because so much of your stuff is built on relationship, and because there is that opportunity for people to, they build that relationship and they might not need you for 5 or 10 years. Are there other ways apart from real estate or kind of an offshoot of real estate where you guys have been able to find, you know what, we can really add value to the relationships we have with existing companies and customers, even if it's, hey, we know good contractors when it's time to do that work. What are some of the value add that you guys bring to the table?
That's a tremendous question.
Tremendous.
See how you lead in a different way, Mike? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
There's a lot of ways that we can bring value and help them. And because our goal is to do what's best for them. What can we do to help their company be more successful? So if it's a real estate and it's related to a move, yes, we have contractors and various vendors to help minimize the disruption if they have to move. But more than that, it's really looking out, okay, who are other companies? Who are other people that we know in this community that they should know? We make introductions, give them an opportunity to get more to know more people and see where that leads. A lot of business comes out. We're trying to look out for their best interest. You know, we're in a world that's very busy and very cold a lot of times. But, you know, the bottom line is we're in community and we're here to build relationships. And we look out for the people that we're entrusted to work with.
Another quick story to that just happened yesterday. We had written a quick little blog about a client of ours who we have a great relationship with. And the block had gone out through Twitter or whatever device, wherever media went out yesterday. And immediately after, I got a text from another CEO of a client across town who's a really good friend and said, I didn't know you knew those guys. Like, I need to connect with them. Can you give an introduction? And those are the calls and the messages that really make Rob and I smile because it gives an opportunity to add value to them beyond just the real estate.
And you guys are located here in Gwinnett. Again, I'll ask the other question I asked Tom. How big is your reach? How far can you guys go? Where's your expertise outside of Gwinnett potentially?
Yeah, we're based here, but we can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I would say the majority of our clients are Atlanta-based companies. Mm-hmm. We don't base our decision on working with somebody based on a size, but I would say typically they're probably 5 people on up. They're $500,000 in revenue up to billions. We also, but beyond just the local, we can help people regionally and nationally.
Even companies with multiple locations?
Yes. Yeah. And we've done that a lot of times. One company had 70 locations. Basically, we become their outsourced real estate department here. We're their interaction, their one point of accountability. And then we do the same thing we would do here for them in those cities, but we're not experts in those cities. We're an intentionally independent firm, so we look for those same type of companies in those cities. And we've built a network, not a formal network, but relationships, so we can go into those cities, pick the right firm that does the same thing that we do, and then there are eyes, hands, and feet in that city to help that client with that location.
One thing Rob said that's important, I think, to camp out on for a minute, since we are independent and have set ourselves up that way, if you're working with another firm, a lot of times some of the larger firms, if you're working with that firm and you need to open a location in Denver, for example, you're held hostage by who they're working with in Denver. Like if they have an office here and an office in Denver, you typically are working with their agent in Denver. We don't have that. We can choose the best agent in Denver that we know or that we get to know to help service that need, so you're not held hostage, if you will, by that firm if that agent out there is not doing a good job.
Very interesting stuff. We've had, what, about 1,000 businesses come through here in 3 years, and you're the first company that we've had that does what you do. It's very unique and very interesting. Rob Coatsworth, Jeff Richardson from CTR Partners. For those businesses that would like to find out more, perhaps use your services, where can they get more information?
Sure. They can look us up at ctrpartners.com as our website. They can call our office. The number there is 770-723-1900 and ask for either Rob or Jeff, and we'll be glad to chat with them.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. We enjoyed it.
Steven, you've got some unfinished business over there.
Yes, one last piece of unfinished business. Mike, did you know that Faratech is an authorized HP and Xerox dealer that also sells and services all leading brands of toner, printers, copiers, and computer hardware? Faratech has certified service technicians that provide on-site service and a delivery team that offers free local delivery and pickup 5 days a week. For more info, visit faratech.com. That's FARRATECH.com. Oh, a little too early. Premature applause, but I'll take it anyway.
I'm just playing. There's a couple here. I have no idea what they are, and I'm afraid to even play them on the air.
I would not do them on the air. Don't.
Gentlemen, yeah. I apologize. I've got my new toy for 2016, and so I like to play a little sound effects once in a while, and sometimes they don't even make sense, but I stick them in there anyway. I do appreciate our guest today, Tom Brigette with Rosemont Capital Solutions, and Rob and Jeff with CTR Partners. Great job by both companies. You're listening to Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. A quick reminder, you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio X programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. You can also download any of our programs on iTunes. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X. Follow us on Facebook as well. You can watch this program and many others on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. We're all over the place. For Stephen Julian, final comments, sir?
Let's go get some alternative lending and buy a building.
There you go. I like it. By the way, I had 17 great questions. I beat you 17-1.
Yeah, you're not known as the math guy, Mike.
I might have messed it up a little bit.
Just a tad.
For everybody here, including Trey and Z, our producers, I'm Mike Salmond. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.